You are listening to Business Day Spotlight.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight podcast, a multimedia live production. We are looking at some of the topical issues in and around the economy. And for today, we're talking about something that has actually disgruntled or made people a bit worried in the last week. And that was around the potential banking strike that, you know, could have seen, from the last numbers I checked, could have seen 30,000 to 40,000 employees from the banking sector actually dropping tools in a protest against some of the job losses in the sector. So that's the discussion we're going to be having today. And in studio, I am joined by my colleague, that is a political writer, Luyolo Kentane. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, yes it is.
And he's actually been following this story and has actually been writing quite a bit around it. And then our guest for today is Kaiser Moyane, who is the NEDLAC convener for BUSA. Yes, that's correct. Business Unity South Africa.
That's right.
Okay. So I'm just going to first start with Luyolo's, just to give us a rundown of what's been happening, you know, since you've been writing. Just, you know, what's happened in the last sort of week and, you know, where are we at the moment?
Thank you so much for having me. So basically, yes, I have indeed been writing up on this. Mm. I think the built up basically started last month,
yeah,
when SASPO actually, you know, came out saying that, look, they're going to bring the whole industry into a standstill. They're going to shut down the industry because they want to teach the banking sector bosses a lesson.
Yeah.
In fact, they actually said that they want to prove a point.
Yeah.
You understand? So we have been covering that, and also we went to court. Mm. The parties are concerned.
Yeah.
That is SASPO, COSATU, and also BUSA.
Yeah.
And the judge actually interdicted the strike, saying that you know, they couldn't rely on a notice that was issued to them by NEDLAC in 2017.
Yeah.
So as things stand now, you know, COSATU has stated its intention to appeal that ruling and also to go back to NEDLAC to basically get a fresh mandate,
yeah,
to take to the streets. They've said that if things go their way, we could actually see them, you know, taken to the streets on October 7, which was initially the date that COSATU had set aside to, you know, protest against job losses and also retrenchments in the whole SA economy.
Okay. Actually, before I bring in Kaz, I just want to understand, you know, for those that might not have been following, what's the relationship between the parties? Because we've got SASPO on one side, we've got COSATU,
okay,
you know, we've got NEDLAC, like, you know, who's,
yes,
who's saying what?
Who's in the zoo?
Yeah.
It's SASPO, which is, you know, the finance union,
yeah,
that actually intended to, you know, take to the streets last week Friday.
Yeah.
And then COSATU, which basically supported, you know, the strike,
yeah,
by its affiliate,
yeah,
SASPO. And then there was the Business Unity South Africa, which,
yeah,
actually has the Banking Association of South Africa as its member. So it's actually the one that approached the courts to say that, look, we cannot allow to have such a strike.
Yeah.
It will be illegal. These guys, they intend to act on a notice that is like 2 years old.
Yeah.
So they're basically the ones who approached the courts.
Okay. Yeah. So, Kaiser, now that we have that background, where are we?
Thank you. Let me just start by maybe clarifying a couple of things about the parties.
Yeah.
So in NEDLAC,
yeah,
there are four constituencies: it's government, business, labor, and civil society.
Yeah.
BUSA represents the interests of business in NEDLAC.
Yeah.
And COSATU is one of three federations that are currently representing organized labor there.
Yeah.
A federation like COSATU is entitled to apply for or to if they want to go on protest action.
Yeah.
To send, in terms of Section 77 of the Labour Relations Act, to send a notice to NEDLAC. A trade union like SASBO may also do the same.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
The intention of that particular section is not protest action per se. In other words, you don't go to NEDLAC so that you can go on protest action.
Yeah.
You go to NEDLAC in order to have your concerns addressed. So NEDLAC will facilitate a discussion on the demands that the union or the federation would have brought there.
Yeah.
Typically, these are demands against government.
Okay.
Because they would involve some sort of policy that the federation or trade union would say has adverse impact on the socio-economic interests of workers.
So is that sort of like an arbitration and mediation sort of role, like facilitating that discussion?
So NEDLAC is, as I said earlier, there are four constituencies.
Yeah.
The committee that deals with or facilitates the discussions is made up of these parties as well.
Mm.
So you know, their role is really to make sure that the respondents, who would typically be government and business organizations, meet with the applicant, who would be the union or the federation, and discuss their issues.
Yeah.
And if that fails, in that event, then NEDLAC will confirm that they have considered the matter.
Yeah.
And then if that allows the union or the federation that would have taken the matter there in the first place to then advise NEDLAC that they are ready to go on protest action by giving 14 days notice.
Yes.
In this particular case, which has some history.
Because it sounds from some of the dates that Loyola was talking about that this has been brewing for some time. Yeah.
Correct. So you will be aware that COSATU has been calling for a moratorium on retrenchments for some time now.
Yeah.
It is a difficult thing to do, to call for a moratorium on retrenchments, because retrenchments are not something that companies would typically just wake up in the morning and go do.
Yes.
It's because if you're going to lose part of your workforce, it means you would have done all that's reasonably possible to turn your business around, to do whatever it is that's needed before you consider letting people go.
Yes.
So retrenchments should not be the first thing you do, but should be always an option of last resort. So whilst trade unions may have genuine concerns about just the state of or the number of retrenchments in the economy, to say that businesses should not retrench is not, in my opinion, the right thing to do. Right?
Yeah.
Rather, you should address the causes
of the retrenchment,
okay. Which is the economy that is not growing.
Yeah.
And that's just one thing. There's, and we'll come to what's happening in the banking sector, which is not necessarily the economy that's not growing. It's a different factor, right? So you address that, but also as far as possible, where retrenchments are not avoidable, you try to ameliorate the consequences of such retrenchments on those who are affected by it. And that's essentially where the engagements between companies and their trade unions would focus on. So once they have confirmed that retrenchments are inevitable, then the discussion should then shift to, okay, those who are to be retrenched, right? Can we do something to help them?
Yeah.
And these are then the, you know, the consultations that would then be happening there. But let's come back to this particular case.
Yeah, because I was actually going to say, so does that then mean that all the processes you're talking about have failed? Are we? Is that what we're saying? That we got to a point where we've gone through the different engagements and they've broken down, and we find ourselves in court.
So there's been a confusion of processes. We don't know whether this is deliberate, but I'll explain what I mean.
Yeah.
When COSATU went to NEDLAC in 2017,
yes,
to complain about, they termed it crisis in the economy at the time, and they pointed out that a sector like mining was contemplating retrenching a high number. Numbers of workers, and they said it was a crisis. Right? Mm. So what they went to NEDLAC to do was, for government, this was a demand of theirs. In fact, there were two demands. They said, one, let's have a job summit.
Yeah.
And then two, government, please make laws that are going to make it difficult for companies
people.
To retrench only to maximize profits. That's what they said.
I see.
So there was a meeting of the parties, and there was agreement that there should be a job summit, and it subsequently happened in October of 2018.
Yeah.
On the issue of amending the laws or making laws by government to make it difficult for companies to retrench for maximizing profits, government said, look, we would like to go back to our principles and we'll come back to you on that one, to COSATU.
Yeah.
And they were given a month to go back and do that. They never came back with a response.
Yeah.
And so NEDLAC said, look, after a month, it looks like this matter is going nowhere, so we will just consider it closed and considered.
Yeah.
And this was in November of 2017.
Okay.
So that effectively meant COSATU could then go on protest action, which is protected in terms of Section 77 of the Labor Relations Act.
Yes.
They didn't go on protest action until February this year,
yeah,
on just that issue. And then we thought then the issue is done. They have protested.
All right.
Because the aim of protesting is really to register your concerns, right, after discussions have failed.
Yeah.
And that was done.
Okay.
What then happened in August this year is that NEDLAC received two more notices from COSATU saying, remember,
we want to protest the same thing again.
Exactly. In 2017, we came here, we said there's a crisis in the economy. Now we're just telling you, we don't want discussion. We're just telling you that we'll be protesting again.
Because we've got the notice from before.
Correct. And the weird thing about this one was that SASPO, the finance union, were the first to make it public that they were going to embark on a massive protest action in the finance sector, shutdown, that's what they called it, on the 27th of September. They even had the date, right? And that was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was even a day before NEDLAC received any notification to that effect from COSATU.
Yeah.
Now, SASPO is a member of COSATU, we know that. So what is happening is that SASPO was now saying they will rely on COSATU's notice. Not that SASPO themselves went to NEDLAC. They didn't.
They were looking to their bigger body.
Exactly. They'll piggyback on COSATU's notice of 2017 and say, well, look, this sector we would like to go on protest action in. And COSATU said, well, that's fine, right?
Okay.
And that's what happened.
I'm just going to, because we have to take a break, so I'm just going to allow us to just take a breather, and then we'll be back on the other side of this to continue in our discussion. You are listening to the Business Day Spotlight.
The cryptocurrency revolution is a rabbit hole that goes deeper than just Bitcoin and blockchain. South Africa's revolutionary cryptocurrency investment platform, Revix, presents Beyond Bitcoin, your guide to the crypto future. Unpack the news, trends, and terminology live every Monday on The Gareth Cliff Show on cliffcentral.com. You can also download every episode on the Cliff Central app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. This is Business Day Spotlight. We are talking about the banking sector strike that was meant to happen this past Friday, but didn't end up happening. And in studio, I am joined by Kaiser Moyane, who is the NEDLAC convener for BUSA. And he was just giving us, you know, some of the explanation and technicalities behind this particular case. And I'm also joined by my colleague, Luyolo, who has been writing about this particular case. I just want to shift to Luyolo very quick, what do you think are some of the impacts if, let's say, Friday's protest action had taken place? Because the fact that there's an interdict does not necessarily mean they've said there's never going to be a strike. This strike could potentially still happen.
That's basically the idea that the union leaders gave us.
Yeah.
They were saying that that was on Friday, that they were going to lodge an appeal before end of business on Friday, and that they'll be going back to NEDLAC. Maybe we should just ask whether they've done that. Maybe it's worth following up.
Yeah.
And just to go back to your question, sorry. One of the arguments that the legal representatives of COSATU put forth is that, in fact, they took issue that NEDLAC was cited as one of the respondents in the court papers, but they were not in court to basically, you know, articulate and explain all the processes and procedures that CASA has just explained to us. And yes, they indeed stated that we could actually see them, you know, taken to the streets on October 7, should everything be given the green light, the process that they need to follow.
There's actually something else I wanted to, you know, perhaps check with you, because just doing my research, it sounds as if there was meant to be a strike this past Friday.
Yes, right.
And then there was meant to be another one. So there were two, right?
So there were two. The one on Friday, it was SASPO.
Okay.
Yeah, that was to take on the streets this past Friday. And then COSATU, you know, was intending to go, or is intending to go on strike, on a national strike or protest action, if you like, on the 7th of October against
That's next week Monday.
Yeah, yes, next week Monday. Against retrenchments and also job losses across all sectors of the economy.
Yeah.
And just to go back to what they said in court, that you know, they felt strongly that the notice that they relied on, which is of 2017, is still valid and relevant as long as the issues that were raised back then of, you know, retrenchments. Because they were saying that, you know, things have just gotten, you know, bad now. It's like from bad to worse, if I can put it that way. So they really maintained and felt strongly that they should have, you know, given the green light to go ahead with the strike on Friday.
Kaz?
Sure. We think the judge made the right call in stopping the protest action.
What was going to be the impact?
We have always maintained that when you bring down any particular sector of the economy, especially an economy that's struggling like the South African economy is, you're just making the problem worse.
Yeah.
And where there are alternatives, as in talk, discuss your issues.
Yeah.
We think that everybody owes it to the country to try that first.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, what would have happened then on Monday after Friday's strike or protest action? Some sectors of the economy, more than banking that matter, would have been adding up the cost of that protest action and then possibly thinking, so how are we going to get out of this? Maybe let's cut more costs, right?
Yeah.
And that means people.
Yeah.
So we don't think that's a responsible thing to do when you always have the option to talk. The finance sector or the banking sector is quite central in this country to the economy.
Yes.
I just think about all the small businesses that rely on movement of money. to get their goods and services across and all that. And clients, you know, who the network works for the economy. Mm. If you disrupt that, you actually, it's like cutting your nose to spite your face. I don't see how you plead for more jobs by damaging the ability to create more jobs, right?
But what if the people feel like the talking is not...
But this is the point that Busa made, that there was no talking, right? So let's get back to what we believe the purpose of Section 77 essentially is.
Yeah.
Okay? I said in the beginning that protest action is not what you start off with.
It's the last resort.
Exactly. Yeah. If you have failed to get... to a resolution through discussions.
Yeah.
NEDLAC has got many examples where trade unions have gone there, registered their demands. They've had discussions with both business and government, and they've achieved resolutions to their concerns.
Mm.
There was no reason why in this particular case, COSATU would have feared that would not be. The outcome,
yeah.
Right? So Busa said, well, you can't just start with protest action, because Section 77 says for this to be protected, you must have had the discussions first. The yeah. discussions have not happened. Surely 2017 is not it's not a good reference point for the discussions, right?
Okay.
A lot has happened since then.
Yeah.
Even the administration has changed in government.
Yeah.
Right? In the interim, so Busa was saying, you know, stop that. Let's go back and talk. You would have heard, for example, Busa saying, look, for them, the fact that the judge stopped the protest action is not really a victory to be celebrated.
Yeah.
But it is a victory in the sense that, you know, both labor and business will now have the opportunity to talk about what the real concerns are.
Yeah.
Which is what Busa has always maintained should be happening, rather than, you know, administering more blows to the economy. Right?
I actually want to get both of you to give me your take on something, maybe a response. It's just an argument I heard, you know, because this was greatly discussed in the past, in the last week or so, as we round up this discussion. Is I remember someone saying the irony is that if 30 to 40,000 employees take to the streets, you might actually exacerbate the problem in such a way, or actually, you know, fast track the issue, because the issue is that customers are using more digital platforms. So the banks are seeing this not as a profit motive, but more as an efficiency thing to say, why should we be keeping people if customers are not even, you know, using them? And someone was then saying, if there was that protest action on Friday, right, you shut down the banks, all it's going to do is get more people to download the apps and actually yeah. you know, find themselves on the platform.
Let me just come in there. So I started, I think I said earlier on that we'll come back to what's happening in the banks, right? Mm. Remember I said COSATU went to NEDLAC to complain about, initially it was retrenchments in the mines, and they wanted laws to make it difficult to retrench to maximize profits.
Yeah.
What is happening in the banking sector, and it's not just in the banking sector, you know, I can give you the retail sector as an example, is that technology has now impacted or influenced the way customers interact with their service providers.
Mm.
In retail, you may have read about some of these huge brick-and-mortar retailers closing down in the U.S. in particular.
That's true.
The reason is because people are migrating to more online purchases, and so they don't see any need to go to big malls. Right? Mm. With banking as well, we have been seeing more and more customers, as you pointed out, who have, you know, these gadgets transacting online, electronically and remotely, that they don't see any need to go into a bank, a physical structure. So those ways of servicing customers, like your traditional branches of banks are becoming more and more expensive to maintain, because if you maintain the same infrastructure that you had, but you are only servicing now a tiny fraction of what you had initially set it up to do, you're actually working at a loss.
Yes.
So the banks have had to react to that by downscaling on that side, and then trying to encourage, or in fact trying to meet the customer's demands by giving them more of their transaction capability electronically. And that is in essence what is causing some of these roles that are in the banking sector to become redundant. And there have been discussions that we are aware of between the banks and SASBO, the finance union, in terms of a different section this time. It's section 189 of the Labor Relations Act, right? Yeah. So remember, section 77 is for protest action, generally around policy positions of government.
Yeah.
If workers want to complain about retrenchments or to talk about retrenchments, impact, the numbers, all those things that the law says companies must talk to their workers about, that's in terms of section 189 of the Labor Relations Act.
Yeah. Right?
And the banks have been following that. What the banks are saying is to SASBO, look, it's good if you come and talk to us about what we can do to assist our workers whose roles have become redundant and can't be accommodated in the bank. So the banks have, I'm aware of some programs that they have been implementing, like to try and give workers new skills, and not necessarily skills to use in the banks, because let's face it, not everyone in terms of the future skills required will remain relevant for the banks. So the banks have been trying to assist those that can be accommodated to acquire new skills that they can use outside, right? Or even to start their own businesses.
Your take, Loyola?
Yeah, Madiwa, we cannot deny the fact that, the face of the industry is changing.
Yeah.
I mean, the traditional banks are facing competition from new entrants such as Time Bank, Discovery, Bank Zero. But I think it would be an injustice if we were to dismiss, some of the issues or demands that labor is putting forth. You understand?
Mm.
For instance, we have heard COSATU saying that the finance sector, to be specific, hasn't had any issues of our profits for the last two decades. So taking that into consideration, one would really say that, I mean, can I just what I wanted to say is, so taking that statement at face value would be naive too, but if you actually go and check the books, the least paid SOE of these top six banks in 2018 took home close to 30 million rand.
Wow.
So from where I'm sitting, I think it's really time that the unions actually sit on the boards of these companies, so that the books could actually be open to them. That they see how much the companies are making and whether their demands are sensible or viable, and also start influencing the direction that these companies should take as we grapple with the realities that are brought by the fourth industrial revolution.
Yeah, it's an interesting one.
let me just point out that you don't need to be on the board of any company to know what's going on in there. The annual reports of the companies publish what they pay their CEOs, right?
Mm.
So that information is available. And trade unions also have access to information through Section 16 of the Labour Relations Act if they believe or if the company says, for example, that they want to retrench because they're not making money. So trade unions can ask.
Basically, you don't want them near those boards at all.
That's not what I said. I said they have got, you don't need to be on the board to have access to that information.
I get you, but I think the point that I was trying to make is that even the president, I think just a few weeks ago, he actually repeated that, saying that, no, it's time that, he was speaking at a union conference in KZN.
Okay.
It was SACTU, SACTU, the textile union. We actually said, no, it's time. These guys should actually, you know, be part of these boards. Mm. So your argument.
So let me, yeah.
Oh, okay.
My argument stand. I'm saying you don't need to be on the board to have access to that information. You can get it, right? It's prescribed. Annual reports, pick any annual report of a listed company. You can see what they pay their executives, right?
Yeah.
And I said Section 16 of the Labor Relations Act. If a company should say we're struggling, therefore want to retrench, unions can get access to the books, right?
Yeah.
And they can even hire experts to interrogate that information. And so that's allowed. But incidentally, here's something else that you know, all the argument that, and I'm not for one saying that there shouldn't be any workers represented. Right? That's not what I'm saying. But when you are on the board of directors of any company, you're not there representing your constituency. You are there to act in the best interest of the organization.
And so that, you think there'll be a conflict?
No. If any director goes there to say I'm going to be a director so that I can represent the interests of any particular constituency, they will be falling foul of the Companies Act, right? And so that's a point to perhaps park with you. But what I've said earlier about access to the information remains valid. But let's get back to what is happening in the banking sector. I said it's got nothing to do with profits, but it's got everything to do with ensuring that the businesses are positioned to service their customers appropriately, because that's what the customers are requiring. What should rather be happening is that the unions and the banks, and not just the banks, any company that's retrenching, what they should be doing is talking about how to help those people who can't be accommodated in the businesses as a result of their roles having become redundant.
Mm. Very interesting discussion. Thank you so much, Adiola. Do you have any responses before we end off?
No,
he's defeated. He hasn't got any.
I'm defeated.
Very interesting discussion. Thank you so much to Liolo for being with us. He's a political writer. You can follow some of his writing because he's the one who's been writing for Business Day just around this issue, and he's going to be continuing looking at it. Thank you to our guest, Kaizo Moyane from NEDLAC. He's the NEDLAC convener for BUSA, for coming in and just sharing their position and just explaining what some of the intricacies of that case have been. From my point of view, I think it's going to be an interesting one to see how it develops, simply because I think it's going to set quite a precedence on their other industries as well, especially if you look at what's happened with MultiChoice. I think MultiChoice has started a retrenchment process for about 2,000 workers, and I've also cited the fact that less and less people are using their customer service centers and stuff like that. And it's going to be an interesting discussion of, you know, how do we move, you know, the economy forward in the face of digital disruption and changing consumer habits, but at the same time keeping, you know, employment inclusive. Without getting rid of jobs, but rather finding either imagining companies in a new way, new roles. I don't know what's going to happen, but I think it's going to be an interesting one. Kaizo, how can people keep in touch with you guys? How can they engage with BUSA?
So Busa is listed on the website.
Yeah.
If you want to get hold of Busa or to find out anything about what's going on, whether on this case or anything about Nedlac, but you know, just go onto the website, you'll find Busa's numbers and email address is there.
Okay. Right. Cool. So that's been it for today. Thank you so much to everyone who was listening. Remember that you can keep in touch with us. You can find all our latest podcasts on Business Life under the Podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And then on Twitter, we're hashtag BD Spotlight. Remember, you can also subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you so much to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Amula. I've been Mudiwa Kavasa. And remember that Business Spotlight is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it's good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.